Welcome to the Radio Bible Course and our study of John chapter 12. Our text today is John chapter 12, beginning with verse 31. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show by what death he was to die. The crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Let's put this in context. Just prior to this passage, a voice came from heaven in answer to Jesus' prayer, and our Lord then interpreted that message which he received from the Father as being given for the sake of the crowd, not for his sake. We saw that the crowd did not understand and were not sure what the message was. And although not understood by the people, the message, or that divine voice, seemed to be a sign from heaven which bore testimony to the fact that this person, Jesus, is the Son of God. Now in verse 31, Jesus continues speaking, and he says, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out." As we read the word "now," we might be led to believe that something had already happened. That's the way I interpreted it when I first read it. But the "now" seems to be a reference to what is about to happen. Or, as the New International Version translates it, "Now is the time for judgment on this world." I like that translation. I think they are on the mark. That this judgment of the world and the casting out of the prince, or casting out of the ruler of this world, is in connection with his crucifixion, is seen in verses 32 and 33. Let's not be mistaken about this. It is connected to the cross. Now let's keep these statements together. And again, I remind us that it was the coming of the Greeks back in verse 21 that precipitated this discussion here, which focuses on the cross work of Christ, which is imminent. His time had come. And the coming of the Greeks to talk to Jesus was a signal that the time had come. Now, what can be said about this expression, "the judgment of the world"? Well, by opposing the Creator who came to the earth and took on human form, the world has condemned itself. And this is a frightening declaration to people who do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior sent by God. They have not embraced the one sent by the Eternal Father to deliver them from destruction. And it reinforces what John said in John chapter 3, verse 18. "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." This is a serious message. Men are already under judgment because of only one thing, because they have not believed. You and I were taught in churches and Sunday schools that we had to be good, to attend church and pray, to give and make sacrifices, to try to live by the Sermon on the Mount and try to keep the Ten Commandments, and then, maybe, we would escape judgment. The Bible never teaches that. It teaches that if you don't believe, you're in trouble with God. And belief, of course, is the great theme of this Gospel of John. Men have been given a choice. Jesus Christ was not sent by God into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved. We all have a choice, either to be rescued forever or to be eternally separated from God. Now the believer has no reason to fear, but the unbeliever does, because he has rejected the Savior of the world. His arrival on this earth has divided mankind into two groups, the saved and the condemned. The next passage in John 3, after the one we just read, amplifies this judgment. It says, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The crucifixion of the world's Savior proved that men love darkness more than light. They prefer it. What is the meaning of the cross, then? It represents the judgment of this evil world, which is under the power of the evil one. That's brought out by John in his first epistle, when he wrote in chapter 5, verse 19, "We know we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one." Other translations put it this way, under the power of the evil one or the wicked one. And the New King James Version says, under the sway of the evil one. Well, whatever, make no mistake, this world is not directly under the control of God now. We sing about how he holds the whole world in his hands and that he's the ultimate ruler, but for a time he has allowed the evil one to be the god of this world, and he controls people. It's sad. And this is why Jesus refers to him as the ruler, or the prince of this world, in verse 31. The cross is his judgment also, as well as the world's judgment. And this evil one, of course, is Satan. And Jesus will twice again refer to him as the ruler of the world. We don't have just one passage on the subject. Here it is again in John 14, verse 30, where he said, "I will no longer talk with you, for the ruler of this world is coming." And again in John chapter 16, verse 11, he said concerning judgment, "Because the ruler of this world is judged." That he rules this evil world system is not debatable. The Bible attests to his authority, and it's awesome. What is of greater concern to me is this: does he rule me along with the rest of the world? How much has he deceived me and influenced me to be thinking and acting and doing things that the evil one wants? In studying this, I became aware of the fact that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. Friends, we are in a spiritual battle. Every Christian is. You either bow to your Maker, or you bow, without knowing it, to the ruler of this world. He wants certain things of you, but Christ wants something else. So it's always going to be a struggle. You'll be pulled this way and that way. And you have a choice, who you are going to honor, who you are going to glorify. That's why John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but are of the world." But there's always that temptation to want to be accepted by the world, to be something in this life, and to get the approval of men. If we give Christ just a little bit of courteous treatment, we feel justified. But we all have a choice, and I hope you are reading and studying the Bible to make that choice what it ought to be. Paul referred to this evil one in a very strong way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, where he wrote, "In whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So, Satan is called the ruler of this world and the god of this world, as well as the prince of this world throughout Scripture. But there's no doubt about it, this is Satan. And his judgment has come too. The time has come. All wrapped up with the meaning of the cross. Now, the fact that he is called Satan, the god of this world, implies that he has power to control all the world's inhabitants for his own purposes. And while he seems to be in charge, and although judged, his sentence awaits execution. That will come, and if you're in a hurry to find out what is going to happen to him, you can read Revelation chapter 20. Now, what did Jesus mean by cast out in John chapter 12, verse 31? The verb here comes as a surprise. It says, now is the ruler of this world cast out. I had trouble with that. I would have expected, now is the ruler of this world judged or defeated. But that's not what it says, and I asked myself, cast out of what? Well, when in doubt, go back to the Greek and see if you can figure out something that might have been missed by someone else, like a translator. And I hope I have discovered something, but I can't be sure. But in all the versions that I have read, they say, cast out. They're consistent in that, but nevertheless, there might be something else here. And I discovered that the word for throw or thrust or cast out is this, ekbalo. That's the Greek word. Now, that may mean nothing to you, but I found in a previous use of this word in this Gospel of John, the very previous use of this same verb in John chapter 10, verse 4, translates it another way. It says, when he puts forth his own sheep. Now, this is Jesus speaking about the shepherd who, when he puts forth his own sheep. Now, that's a little different translation, is it not, from being cast out? And again, in John chapter 9, verse 38, we have still another translation of the same word. And here's the verse, therefore I beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out, or put forth, workers into his harvest. When I saw those two translations, I realized that there was a possibility here that maybe we can get a better meaning out of this passage by another translation. What this emphasizes is that words have meanings, not a single meaning. And in tomorrow's program, I want to explain what I think is a preferred translation for this passage. Words have meaning. And one of the words of the New Testament which people don't understand is the word grace. We have a free grace booklet that will tell you all about the wonders of God's grace. Paul told Timothy to be strong in grace. We want you to be strong in grace. Write for your free copy of this 30-page booklet. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.